Good to see you all gathered in this Sunday morning for morning worship. You're all very welcome. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, you too are welcome here to First Rutherford Island. And as we always do our welcome, we think of those who are joining with us online. Good morning to you. If you're joining with us on YouTube, welcome to First Rutherford Island Presbyterian Church. I just have a few announcements to make this morning. If you bear with me just for a couple of moments, please, I'll be as quick as I can. Just a reminder to the children and young people that Children's Church and Sunday School will be straight after the singing of the children's hymn. And this evening, there's an invitation to the congregation to join with the congregations of 2nd and 3rd Presbyterian. They're having a special speaker this evening, Mr. Phil Dunn from EMF, and that service will be at 6:30 p.m. And there's a warm invitation to us all to join there. This evening also, at 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship meets here in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. Then on Tuesday evening, the 20th, PW meeting at 8 p.m., and the guest speaker will be Mr. Alan Cousins from SAT7. On Wednesday evening, midweek prayer meeting and Bible study will be in the Morrison Room at the usual time of 8 p.m. Thursday evening, Girls Brigade will meet as normal, and BB will resume on Friday evening as well at their normal times. Next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., the prayer meeting is as usual in the Morrison Room at 11 o'clock. And then we gather together again next Sunday morning, the 25th of February, for morning worship, and this will be the annual PW service. So the PW would love to see as many members of the congregation come along to support them. And they've also asked me to remind the congregation and requested that the mission boxes and leprosy boxes, if those could be returned, please, by next Sunday, they would greatly appreciate your help and support in that. And it is with deep sadness that I announce the passing of Mr. David McMurray, formerly of 42 Banbridge Road here in Rutherford Island. David's funeral service will take place here in the church tomorrow, the 19th of February at 2 p.m., followed by private burial in the adjoining graveyard. On your behalf, I extend the sympathy of this congregation to David's widow, Muriel, and their family, Linda, Heather, Roy, Richard, Grace, and Lorna, their grandchildren and extended family circle, our deepest sympathy at this, their sad time of loss. And just a word of encouragement, just to say to those of the congregation who we are aware of are sick, unwell, or maybe receiving treatment at this time, just to be reminded that we too continue to keep you in our prayers. And in closing, it's good to have the Reverend Moody back with us again, and young Jim Harbinson all the way back from Moldova. And we look forward to hearing more about their trip later on. Thank you.
Good morning. It is indeed lovely to be back with you here in Rutherford Island as we plan, as we meet to worship God together. In Psalm 113, we read these verses. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We gather today to praise our great and awesome God, our Creator, the All-Powerful One, the Holy One. We gather to give Him glory and honor. So let us stand and do that as we sing our first hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
in your holy presence. You are our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, perfect in every way, yet we can come to worship you as your children this morning. We come not in our own righteousness, but we come in and through the righteousness of Christ, your Son, who died for us, so we can be forgiven, so we can know you now and forever. So, Lord, we come humbly trusting in Jesus, rejoicing that we can come. And, Lord, as we gather here today, we confess, Lord, that we have not walked with you as we should in the past week. At times, we have wandered off astray like sheep, doing our own thing instead of doing what your word tells us. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us in and through the blood of Christ. And Lord, help us in this incoming week to keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, I pray that through the hymns we sing, through the scripture readings we hear, through the sermon, through your word, you will guide us and you will lead us. So we will have our eyes fixed on you in this incoming week. So we will be the blessing you call us to be to those around us as we bring your joy, your peace, your hope wherever we go as we live our lives for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we will be having two readings from the Old Testament. We'll be reading from Exodus 20 and also Genesis 6. Genesis 6, verses 1 to 10, which is the start of the account of Noah. So we'll commence reading from Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to 10. There we are. Let us hear the word of the Lord. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Amen. Now turning over to Exodus, and we'll read from verse 18, and we'll finish that at verse 21. Reading from verse 18, let us hear the word of the Lord. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Amen. Now, if the children would like to come to the front, I'm going to come down and talk with everyone there.
Well, how are you all doing? Did you all have a week off school? Wasn't it terrible being off school? Yeah?
I'm off on Monday.
You're off on Monday? Very good. Anyone else off on Monday? Oh, one or two. Maybe the rest are back to studying. Teachers back in as well. Teaching, great. Do we have the PowerPoint there or? No? Okay. Well, have any of you ever made anything from Lego? Have you? What did you do as soon as you opened the box? Yeah? You tipped everything out. Okay, fair enough. What did you do after that, before you started building? Hopefully. Yeah? Sorry, did you say put it in your room? That's very cunning. Did you all hear that? Put it at the door of his room so people coming in would step on it. What does anyone else do when they open that? I'm starting to learn a lot of things here today. Yeah. Sorry? Put it into bowls so you don't lose the pieces. Very good. All very good advice. I was going to say all very good advice. I'm not sure about the one about putting it in front of the door. But yes?
I don't use it.
You don't use what?
Lego.
You don't use Lego? Well, then why'd you put it? That's fair enough. What do you do?
Put it into color.
Okay, when you get a box of Lego and you open it, does anyone ever look at the instructions? Do you? Or do you just go freelance? If you get a new bit of Lego, it's always good to read the instructions first so you know how it's built. And then after that, you can put it with others and start building other things. But to start with, it's good to use instructions, isn't it? You listen to the instructions, you do what they say. What about pancakes? Did anybody make any pancakes over the week, Pancake Tuesday, yeah? And how did you make them? Did you just close your eyes and think, well, throw this in and throw that in and throw yon in? Did you? Did you follow a recipe? Follow instructions? Well, maybe someone else did on your behalf. Maybe the person that made them know. Who did, Megan? Did Mum? Oh, Michael did. Michael made them in our house. He is sick today, yes, but not because of the pancakes. But yes, when I came home from Moldova, Jim, I got pancakes. So it was great, made. But there was a recipe. Instructions were followed. So those pancakes would be just lovely. And they were. It's important to listen to instructions at times. And God gave his people instructions how they could live as his people. Moses was back at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was the place he encountered God to begin with the burning bush. That's where God spoke to him. Now, years later, he was back, not by himself, but with hundreds of thousands of Israelites. They were all at the base of the mountain. Just as God had said, he kept his promise to Moses. God always keeps his promises, what he says he would do. But God was going to give some instructions to his people through his servant Moses. He told them they had to obey him, they had to listen to him, do what he said, and they had to keep his covenant. That was a special agreement that they would make, that God would be their God, they would be his people. And if they made the agreement, God promised they would be his treasured possession. What's your most treasured possession? I'm dreading asking. Yeah?
Switch.
Sorry?
Switch.
Your Switch. You enjoy playing your Switch. What's your newest game? How can it be your treasure possession? You don't even know what game you're playing. Fortnite, of course. Fortnite, yes?
My Switch.
Your Switch. Anybody else got a treasure possession that isn't a Switch? Little Nintendo console, just in case you don't know, little handheld. Anything else? Well, the Bible said, God said to the people of Israel, they would be his treasured possession. That's what he valued so much. And he said, you will be my holy nation. He was going to make a nation from them that would be his people. Okay? That's the wee Lego car. Hopefully we'll... Hold on, hold on. I have to go back there to those pancakes a minute. They look good. Oh. They look good for a wee second. But Moses was there at Sinai, and so were the people. And God said, you will be my people, I will be your God. And do you think the people agreed? Would the people agree to this promise? God would be their God. They had to obey him. They would be his people, loved and cherished. The Bible says, all together they said, yes. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That was great. But God gave some more instructions. God told them exactly what they had to do. They had to do what God said, because if they didn't, they would die. Very important for them to listen to the instructions. They had to go and wash themselves. They had to go and wash themselves very carefully. And then when they'd finished that, they had to make sure they stayed away from the mountain. They were not allowed even to put their foot on the mountain. There was boundaries put up, because if they got any closer, they would die. Then they could come a little closer, still not touch the mountain, whenever the... Da-da-da! Sorry for waking you up. When the trumpets blew, then they were to come. Now that all seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? They weren't allowed to touch the mountain or they would die. They had to do exactly what God said or they would die. Why do you think that was? Why do you think? Well, it's because God is holy, the Bible says. God is holy. He is pure and perfect. He is separate from everything else. We cannot just be in his presence any way we like, because he is so special. They could only go to God the way he instructed. And then the Bible says, hopefully, there was thunder and lightning. The Bible says the Lord descended upon the mountain in fire. Would you be a little bit afraid if you were standing there? Thunder, lightning, fire, a thick cloud, and the whole mountain shook. And then the trumpet blasted, and Moses went up the mountain. He was the only one that was allowed to go up the mountain, just as God instructed. But the people, they were so scared. They trembled. They had to listen to God or they would die, because God is holy. God is still the same, isn't he? Is God holy today? He is holy and perfect, all-powerful. Then how can you come to God? How can you come to God today? If he is so holy and powerful, how could you come to God? Yep. Well, you can pray to God. But even for God to hear your prayers, there is one way the Bible says you can come to God. God has told us exactly how we can come to him. How is that? Yeah? Sorry? Well, we listen. But how can we come to God? Yeah? Trust in who? Trust in God's Son, who is... Oh, you see, a week off school. It's really made you tired, yes? Jesus. That is the one way you can come. That is the one way you can come before a holy God. He is perfect and holy. We're not. But you can come to him through Jesus. That's what the Bible says. He is the one way, no other way. But when you trust in Jesus, you can live in his presence. You don't have to be worried. You can talk to him in prayer. And how does God continue to give us instructions? He spoke to Moses. The rest of the people were not allowed to go up the mountain. How does God speak to us today? It's important we know how to live our lives for God once we trust in Jesus. How can we know? Come on. Where do you find God's instructions today? Yeah? The Bible. The Bible. Whenever someone speaks, a minister, I don't speak my own words. I'm going to the Bible. When you go to Sunday school, which we'll be doing in a few minutes. You're listening to the teachers who will share to you the Bible, God's Word for you today. You're going to be hearing over the next number of weeks God's instructions to his people, the Israelites and us as well, the Ten Commandments. But we're to listen to God's Word continually, because that's where we get his instructions. How can you live your life to the full? Listen to God's instructions as found in his word. Make sure you come to him through Jesus. He is holy and perfect. One way, only one way, that is through Jesus. And then seek to listen to his instructions as you find them in his word. As you listen and obey, that is how you can have life to the full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us as your treasured possessions. We thank you that we can come to you through trusting in Jesus, and then help us live our lives for you. As we listen to your instructions, your word, help us to listen and obey. Amen. Amen. Now we're all going to stand and we're going to worship our holy God as we sing our children's hymn, What a Wonderful Savior is Jesus.
Father, we are so thankful that you love us, that you care for each one of us, that your word tells us that we are your treasured possession. We are your people, your children, in and through the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you are there to lead us in good times and difficult times. You are by our side, giving us the strength to keep going. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the daily bread you have provided us with. We thank you for the skills you have given us so we can have what we need. And Lord, so much more. So Lord, we give you our thanks. And we give you our offerings today as tokens of our thankfulness. And Lord, we pray that you will use them for your glory and honor. Amen. Just in our prayers of intercession today, we will be praying for those, of course, who are bereaved. We will be praying for those who need God's healing touch at this time. And we'll also be praying just briefly for the Red Roof, as it's called, the home there in Moldova. I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. I won't be saying too much today because hopefully we will be having an evening service in April where the work that it does, the work that you've been involved with for many years, will be highlighted here in church. But again, before going, I knew very little about it. I knew a little bit being from Ballymena. We knew where the Moldova shop was there. And I was very thankful, very privileged to be allowed to go along with Jim for a few days there. And just to be there was such an eye-opener. The house there is a beacon. It's a beacon in the midst of the gloom. God's love shining out into the surrounding area. The children in the home who would otherwise have nothing, shining out into the surrounding area there, providing those with nothing. So many around that place have absolutely nothing, providing out from that beacon of a place that a food goes out regularly to those who have no food, daily care for the helpless, wood for warmth, as we were giving, part of the team giving that out last few days. Help goes out to local schools and authorities. The village receives equipment that it could not pay for itself. It is such a practical, biblical work. It's still hard for me to get my head around all that is done through the mission as I got a little glimpse as I listened carefully. But the verse in James 1:27 really just highlights some of the work to me. It says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Well, the first part of that verse explains what this work does, working with orphans, widows, and even beyond that. And that is what many people, many of you have been involved with over the years. So to the volunteers in the shop, I would just encourage you to keep going. The work you're doing is so important. If you haven't got involved in the shop yet, get involved, because again, it's such a practical work that you're doing to help those over in Moldova, in Transnistria, the east of Moldova. There's also help needed, of course, in many ways, but there's also drivers needed. Someone to drive that van. I'm sure you've seen it many times, with Jim mostly driving it and others beside him working faithfully. But there are others needed in that part of the ministry as well, so perhaps you could get involved there too. But today, I just want to pray for the Red Roof, as it's called. Praying for wisdom. Getting money into the country is very difficult at this time, so that has to be overcome. Pray for the solutions to be found. Working with the local politicians in that area must be extremely difficult, but the right people are there to do it. But we should pray that God will give them wisdom. Praying for the staff in the Red Roof, praying for those local people, people who have virtually nothing. Praying for the children who have been given a most beautiful home, they're looked after so well. Praying that the Red Roof will continue to be such a beacon of hope of God's love. And again, praying that people will continue to bring the donations to the shops so they can be sold to fund this beacon of hope there in Moldova. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your care. We thank you for what you have given us. And Lord, we thank you for this home in Moldova, for the red roof. Lord, we thank you for those who have been working in it for years, those who have been managing it for years. Lord, we thank you for those who have been working in the shops as volunteers for years. Lord, so the money can go out and fund this building and the work that's done in the local community too. Lord, we thank you for those who have worked tirelessly here, for those who have been driving the bus, for Jim and others who have been collecting the different items to bring to sell in the shop so the money can go to support the orphans, so the money can go to bring food to those who have very little, so the money can go to give warmth to those who are cold, so the money can go to provide carers for those who have no one else to care for them. Lord, we thank you for the money that is able to go to even help the local schools so the children can be taught effectively. Lord, for the equipment that has been purchased so the village can function. Lord, we thank you for how you have blessed this work over the years. And Lord, we continue to pray that you will provide more people to work in the shops, people to drive the van, people to lift the things collected into the van, then into the shop, then back out to other homes. Lord, we pray that you'll provide more people to do that. Lord, I pray for wisdom. Lord, I pray that you will give Tom Dick the wisdom he needs as he thinks of how the money can be brought in to run the orphanage and the different things going on in the village month by month when it seems so hard now to get money through. Lord, we pray that you will give wisdom, wisdom in looking after the buildings and the staff that are there. Lord, help the staff that are there do what they're doing just so effectively in service. Lord, I pray for those who look after the staff. Lord, give them the wisdom they need to. And Lord, just help us do what we can to help the Red Roof, this beacon there in East Moldova. And Lord, as we pray for this place, we pray for others around even Rafraeland who are needing help, those perhaps around our own town who do not have enough to eat, are wondering where they will lay their heads. Lord, we pray that you will help us see how we can help those local to us also. Lord, we pray today too for those who are grieving, those who have lost a loved one. We pray for David McMurray's family. Lord, I pray that you'll just surround them with your peace at this time and help them today, tomorrow, and the days and weeks ahead as they mourn the loss of one they love. Lord, I pray for those whose health is not as it should be at this time. Lord, we pray for those who are starting treatment. Lord, we pray that that treatment will be effective. Lord, that will do what it should. But Lord, at the same time, we pray that you will place your hands upon those receiving the treatment. Lord, I pray for those lying in hospital beds at this time. Lord, I pray that you will help, that you will give strength again where all strength is gone. And Lord, I pray for those family members who are attending their loved ones. Lord, I pray that you will give them the strength they need as they continue to drive up and down to see them, as they continue to pour themselves out for their loved ones. Lord, help them, I pray. Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us be genuine, be the children you call us to be, as we seek to obey your instructions, as we go out and seek to bring your blessing and joy to those we meet in this incoming week. Lord, help us do that faithfully, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our next hymn entitled, Oh to See the Dawn. You know, I can just about remember being at school. I have a good memory. And I remember when I was there, we would have been taught some rule. And just when my head was almost getting used to it, we would have been told then about the exception to the rule. Something that didn't quite go with the general rule we'd been taught. For example, I before E, except after C. That was a good rule that helped me with spelling. But not always, of course, because there were exceptions. And we can see the exceptions. For example, way, neighbor, and science all go against the rule. Exceptions to the rule. And there are many. I was also taught that swans are white, beautiful, except they're not all white. Some swans are actually black. Black swans in Australia, an exception to the rule. And if you look hard enough, you can always find exceptions to the rule. Well, here in Genesis 6, we find such an exception to the rule of the day. Noah was an exception to the rule. He stood out as totally different in his time, completely different. Genesis 6 verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Things had accelerated from the fall. The expression of sin had multiplied. The earth was in a terrible state. And then we're told, but Noah. But Noah, the exception to the rule. In verse 9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. An exception to what we read in Genesis 6. Verse 5. In the midst of this terrible evil, corruption, stood Noah. He is a character in complete contrast to everyone else at the time. For example, we are told the people were wicked in verse 5, whereas Noah in verse 9 was righteous. He was righteous. In English, one word can have different meanings, as you know. Right can mean correct, or it can mean the opposite of going left. It can mean going right. And in Scripture, words can have different meanings too. The word righteous in the Bible is a bit like that. It can mean righteous in the eyes of God, that is perfect or sinless, or it can mean someone that does what is right. So it can talk about us being seen as righteous when we trust in Christ, the righteous one, or it can talk about the fact they are righteous, they do things that are right. One refers to what we are, the other refers to what we do. Here, talking about Noah saying God is righteous, it does not mean he is perfect. He was not perfect. It does mean he did what was right. That's what he sought to do. He lives according to God's ways. And that was in complete contrast to everyone else at the time. Everyone else was doing what they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted. But Noah was righteous. He was doing what was right. Not only that, but we're told he was blameless. The rest of the people are called corrupt in verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, whereas Noah was blameless. Again, this does not mean he was perfect. The word blameless translated here from Hebrew means complete, sound. It's a lovely word we have in Northern Ireland. He was sound, unobjectionable. Very similar to being righteous, but a different emphasis. He did what was right, not just in God's eyes, but in the eyes of those around him. He lived his life before all. There was a complete consistency with Noah's life. He was not two-faced. One way at home, one way with others. His relationship with God affected every part of his life, including his dealings with everyone else. His behavior was consistent at home and with his neighbors. Wherever he went, whatever he did not conform. Even in his evil day, he was blameless before others. It tells us that for the people, they were evil all the time. Consistently evil. Yet Noah, it tells us in verse 8, he walked with God. He walked with God. They were consistently evil. Noah, however, consistently, continually walked with God. That means he was continually focused on God, who he is, what he wants, and living accordingly. Again, 24/7. That was Noah's life in the midst of such corruption. The world today we live in is not the best of places, to say the least, full of corruption. We are called to be like Noah, as we'll see shortly. But this verse goes on with the contrast. It tells us in verse 11, the world was full of violence. It was full of violence. Well, equally with Noah, well, it tells us he was full of faith and obedience. It tells us twice in these verses, in verse 22 and verse chapter 6, 22, then 7, verse 5, that he did everything that the Lord commanded him to do. Everything God said, all of God's instructions to Noah, he did them. The rest of the world did what they wanted. Noah was doing all to the smallest details, we're told. And that's incredible, isn't it? When you think of what Noah was told to do, Noah was told to build an ark, which basically, it wasn't a boat, it was a great big box. You think of the Ark of the Covenant, a box. The ark was a great big box, as we'll see in a couple of weeks' time. He was told to build this ark because a flood was coming to destroy the world. Now, there was nothing in Noah's experience to match that. So incredible, so against everything that he knew, yet Noah obeyed God. Incredible. What faith Noah had. Because of that, he's listed in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. See, Noah was a complete exception to the rule. How? What made Noah stand out different from everybody else? From everybody else. How could he do that? Well, it tells us here that he found favor in God's eyes in verse 8. The word favor here can also be translated as grace. He found grace in God's eyes. The idea being that he is enabled by God to be the person he is. It's not coming from himself. The whole of humanity was affected by sin from the fall, but God's grace has settled on Noah. It is not that God looked at him and thought, yes, this is a worthy man, but Noah is a worthy man because God enabled him to be. That's what that word favor or grace means. We're also told he walked with God. He was able to live a righteous life, blameless before others, obedient, even though it seemed crazy, because he was favored, graced by God, but also because he walked with God. He lived his life continually focused on God, living in his presence. As mentioned today, is not too different from Noah's day. There is good in this world, but there's also terrible corruption, isn't there? If in doubt, look at the news. Children kidnapped, forced to fight. People continually scamming others to get their money. People changing laws to make what God says sound wrong, so they can do what they want when they want. So many wars around this world today. Today, if you take a stand for what is right, you could just end up in jail. Not just in other countries, but more and more in our own. In this world, the world that we live in today, we are called to be like Noah. We are called to be the exceptions to the rule. We are called to be different and distinct. Not annoying. Sometimes we can be like that. I can be like that at default at times. But we are called to be different and distinct in that we are to live our lives for God in this fallen world. We need to be righteous. Not self-righteous like the Pharisees who spent all their time looking down their noses on everyone, pointing at other ones. We should not be those people pointing at what everyone else is doing wrong. We should be concentrating on ourselves, seeking to do what is right, knowing God's word, letting it saturate us. Do not be led by people's opinions, by social media. We should be listening to what God's word says and doing it. God's word is perfect. That is what you should be influenced by. We should continue to read it. Let it saturate us every moment because it is good. People doubt God's word these days, but it is good, so good. The Bible talks about itself as being perfect, like honey, more precious than gold. And we will find that as we read it and obey it. We will see God blessing us and blessing others through us. We are called to live those blameless lives before others. Knowing what is right is not enough. In fact, knowing what is right and continually reminding everyone of it can be quite sickening, can't it? We are called to know what is right and seek to apply it in every situation in our lives. At home, at work, with your friends, with your extended family, putting God's word into practice in all your relationships, at all times, not to be two-faced, not to be hypocrites, saying one thing and doing another, depending on who we're with. We are called to be blameless. That is what we're to strive for. We miss it so often. We need to admit that. We mess up, sometimes on purpose. We confess as Christians when we do so, asking his strength to help us do what is right. What do people see when they see you in the week? When you've left this place, when you're working somewhere else, when you're out in the street, how would people describe you? Would it be helpful to the gospel witness or unhelpful, a hindrance? We are called to go out and seek to live blameless lives, be the first to admit when we do wrong, seek God's forgiveness, the forgiveness of others that we wrong, and seek to do what is right. We are called to be obedient. You must be willing to put all of God's word into practice in your life, following his instructions faithfully. Those things we find difficult, well, we need to be down on our knees praying that God will help us with them so we will put them into practice in our lives. Things that other people may find difficult, when God's word says it, that is what we should do. But how can we do that? How can we be living righteous lives, blameless lives, obedient? How can we do that? Well, it's only possible when you first respond to the grace of God in your life. You cannot live that life yourself. Neither can I. We can try and be so good. We fail miserably. You do not have it in you, and neither do I. We all need to be radically transformed, don't we? We need the grace of God in our lives. That's why we need the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Ephesians 2 verse 8, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's why we need to come trusting in the Lord Jesus, so we can have our sins forgiven, so we can be made right in God's sight. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, we are seen as righteous because God sees Christ's righteousness in us. Our sins have been paid for. We are brought into an everlasting relationship with God. And once we trust in Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit who helps us live our lives right, who helps us do what's right, encouraging us, changing us little by little. We need to trust in Jesus so we can be made right in the eyes of God. And we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives so we can live right in the eyes of God day by day, seeking God's help. Once we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to do what he calls us to do as the Holy Spirit leads us, rebukes us, giving us the strength to do what is right. We need to trust in Christ, and then we need to be walking with God day by day, like Noah walked with God. What does that mean for us? Well, what does it mean when you're walking with someone? You're going down the street with one person beside you. Hopefully, as you walk with them, you will listen to them. You will listen to what they have to say. As you walk with them, you will also talk with them as well. It hopefully won't be a one-sided conversation. Their presence with you will affect how you act at times, especially if it's someone you really care for. It will affect what you do and don't do. Well, when we walk with God, we are called to listen to him continually, taking time to listen to him as we read his word, letting it filter through every part of our lives. When we're walking with God, we are spending time talking to him. Make sure you're spending time talking with God, that you're reading, you're listening, but you're also talking to your Heavenly Father too. We have the privilege of being able to do that, so do it. When we walk with God, we are continually focusing on him, not ourselves or others. His presence should affect everything we do. As we realize wherever we go, we are in God's presence. He is with us. And that knowledge should affect what we are willing to do and not do. We are to be aware that we are constantly living in his presence and let that affect everything we do. So we can be those living exceptions in this world. So even though this world around us is very corrupt, even though this world around us is going against God's word, we are called to be like Noah, who stood up by himself in his day. We are called to stand up for God, be those exceptions to the rule that God calls you to be, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to live righteous and blameless lives, obedient to God's word as you walk with him. What a witness we will be as we seek to do that in this world. What a hindrance we will be if we go out and just act like everybody else. We will be seen as hypocrites. Let us pray that God will help us be like Noahs of this modern day. He will give us this help. He will give us the strength to go out and make a difference as we do not conform to this world, but we keep conforming to God's word as we trust in him and seek to do his will each and every day. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Noah. Sometimes we say it's so difficult to do what's right. Lord, it's impossible without Christ. Without the Lord Jesus, we are sinners. Lord, I pray you will help each one of us trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And then, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, help us walk with you day by day. Help us live our lives by your word. Help us not be hypocrites, doing one thing one place and just doing whatever we want in another place. Help us be consistent so we can be those examples for you in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, which is Filled with Compassion. Yes, let's stand and worship God together. And now may the Lord who never sleeps, the one who keeps Israel in his holy care, the one who will not suffer that your foot be moved, nor fail in his certain aid, may he keep you from now on, yes, and forevermore. Amen.